The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 5. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Kikari. Recorded on September 18th, 2010, in Aheloy, Bulgaria.
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Munaya sadhu prishtoham bhavadbir lokamangalam yat krita krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati munaya sadhu prishtoham bhavadbir lokamangalam yat krita krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Purport. Since it has been stated herein before that in the Bhagavatam the absolute truth is to be known, the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya are proper and just because they pertain to Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Personality of Godhead says that in all the Vedas there is nothing but the urge for searching after Him, Lord Krishna. Thus, the questions that pertain to Krishna are the sum and substance of all the Vedic inquiries. The whole world is full of questions and answers. The birds, beasts, and men are all busy in the matter of perpetual questions and answers. In the morning, the birds in the nest become busy with questions and answers, and in the evening also the same birds come back and again become busy with questions and answers. The human being, unless he is fast asleep at night, is busy with questions and answers. The businessmen in the market are busy with questions and answers, and so also the lawyers in the court and the students in the schools and colleges. The legislators in the parliament are also busy with questions and answers, and the politicians and the press representatives are all busy with questions and answers. Although they go on making such questions and answers for their whole lives, they are not at all satisfied. Satisfaction of the soul can only be obtained by questions and answers on the subject of Krishna. Krishna is our most intimate master, friend, father, or son, and object of conjugal love. Forgetting Krishna, we have created so many objects of questions and answers, but none of them are able to give us complete satisfaction. All things but Krishna give temporary satisfaction only, so if we have to have complete satisfaction, we must take to the questions and answers about Krishna. We cannot live for a moment without being questioned or without giving answers, because the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with questions and answers that are related to Krishna. We can derive the highest satisfaction only by reading and hearing this transcendental literature. One should learn the Srimad Bhagavatam and make an all-around solution to all problems pertaining to social, political, or religious matters. Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna are the sum total of all things. Bandeham Shri Shri Jata Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditamscha. So this is pretty amazing potency. Just by inquiring about the ultimate topic of Krishna, you can benefit the whole world. I mean, sitting right here in this room, we can benefit the whole world. So Krishna consciousness movement is a life of activism. We are not simply chanting Hare Krishna for our own salvation. We want that the whole world should become living. Therefore, Jagannath comes out of hiding in the temple and he goes on the streets. Because we want that everyone should become Krishna conscious. It was very nice yesterday in Sliven. We got some relevant questions from the audience. One lady wanted to know, where can I continue getting more information and training about this here in Sliven? It was a very wonderful question she had. What better question could you expect? How can I get more training and guidance here in Sliven? In other words, she had gotten very inspired by the Ratha Yatra festival. Now she wants to continue cultivating Krishna consciousness. So in this way, we want to inspire the whole world to become interested how to practice Krishna consciousness. So the first thing is we have to make our practice very nice. If they're going to inquire from us how to practice it, then our practice must be very nice. If we don't know how to practice it, how we can teach it? So therefore Prabhupada said, and there's nothing more important than saving the world, but even more important is saving yourself. So first, we should become very, very expert in practicing Krishna consciousness. So that when others want to learn, we can train them very expertly. And they will become qualified to train others expertly as well. So in this way, the whole world can become expert in Krishna consciousness. Then the whole planet will be like a paradise. Can you imagine if everywhere you go, everyone is a devotee? No more wars, no more terrorism. Of course, we have to learn to get along with ourselves also. Sometimes devotees fight with each other. They can't get along very well. So we have to become ideal men and women of saintly character, you know. We have to develop all the saintly qualities that are described in the scriptures. Trinadapi sunichena tararapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahavi. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. He should think himself lower than the star in the street. He should be more tolerant than a tree. He should be ready to offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for himself. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord every now and then. Or constantly. Which is it? Every now and then or constantly? Constantly? Yes. In other words, if you're humble, then you can taste it. Pride makes us unable to taste it, the nectar. Some people say, you know, I chant Hare Krishna, but I'm not getting any taste. Means they're proud, they're puffed up, they think, I'm great. I'm the center of the universe. Everything revolves around me, don't you know? Don't mess with me, I'm an advanced devotee. See, if we have this attitude, we won't get taste for the name. You know what Prabhupada told us in Vrindavan? He said, the spiritual master thinks Krishna has sent me so many spiritual masters. The spiritual master sees that his disciples are his spiritual masters. Because he has to serve them by taking them back to Godhead. So the spiritual master considers himself the humble servant of his disciples. So even if Guru is thinking, he is humble servant of the devotees. And what should devotees should be thinking? Therefore, everyone is my Prabhu, my master. Even Prabhupada used the term Prabhu for all the devotees. He said in one, in many letters he wrote, he said, how are all the, he was saying, give my blessings to all the Prabhus in the temple. He meant the men and women both, they're all Prabhus. Prabhupada didn't use the word Prabhu as a gender term, like, well, there's the Prabhu's bathroom and the Mataji's bathroom, not like them. He didn't use it that way. Every devotee is my Prabhu. The Mataji are my Prabhu, and the male devotees, they're my Prabhus. All the devotees are my Prabhus, they're my masters. I have to serve them. I have to be their humble servant. Krishna further confirms this point in the Adi Purana. Speaking with Arjuna, he says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Ye me bhakta jana parata, O son of Prita, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. He is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be a devotee of Krishna? Then you must become the devotee of the devotee. Otherwise you are nowhere. Whereabouts unknown. So become the devotee of the devotee, you see. Krishna further states here in the first canto Bhagavatam, Shushu Shro Shradanasha Vasudeva Katarushi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Sevana Kirtana. He says by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains infinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. Punya Tirtha Nishevana. Yeah, that's it. This is 1.2.16. Shushu Shro Shradanasha Vasudeva Katharuchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevana. So this is how you get taste for the name. By serving the Vaishnavas, you see. Especially, it mentions here, those who are free from vice, the pure devotees, you see. Especially if you serve the pure devotees. But actually, Prabhupada said that everyone in this movement is a pure devotee. Just see Prabhupada's transcendental vision. They asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, how many pure devotees are there on the planet? Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in the movement? So Prabhupada expects us to be pure devotees. That means follow the regulated principles. Don't cheat on the regulated principles. No illicit sex. No meat eating. No intoxication. No gambling. You see? Sometimes Maya may tempt us. And say, here, have some illicit sex. Here, have some intoxication. Then what will you do? Will you give in to your senses? Or will you use your intelligence? And think, I've invested so much time and energy to purify myself. Why should I spoil it for a few seconds of pleasure? That will simply make me lament like anything for years and years and years. I'll be lamenting for that few seconds of pleasure. I'll be lamenting for years. What a mistake I made. I'll be miserable for years. You see? So a devotee means he uses his intelligence. He understands that the senses may be, the Indriya Seva may be very attractive. But it's the gateway to hell. Therefore, I'm not interested. Maybe Maya Devi, maybe have a very slick advertising campaign. A very attractive billboard. But the devotee analyzes it through the eyes of Scripture. Just like yesterday during the Ratha Yatra, there was some poster there, some lusty woman with all the fancy makeup. To allure the minds of the materialists. But I could see how pathetic it was. This poor woman is being prostituted by some commercial interests, you see. The woman in the poster, she's miserable. So how could you get any enjoyment from trying to enjoy that which is miserable? It was pathetic to see this poor woman, you see. They made her look so-called beautiful for the poster. Actually, it's very ugly, you see. This lusty, greedy consciousness is not at all beautiful. It's disgusting. It's ugly. It may be attractive to those in the modes of ignorance and passion. But for those in the mode of goodness, it's painful. They're not attracted to this rajasic, tamasic pleasure. They want to find the pleasure in pleasing God. Because when you can please God, and you please everyone, you can please every single living entity throughout the entire existence. Simply by pleasing God. But if you try to enjoy separately, you do nothing but cause misery to yourself and others. So Krishna consciousness means stop causing misery to yourself and others. Do that which is pleasing to the self. Do that which is actually pleasing to all living beings. As stated in this verse, only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. So everyone should learn how to inquire in this way. How to awaken their Krishna consciousness. I get so many questions in my e-course which are not really relevant for self-realization. Instead of asking how to awaken their dormant Krishna consciousness, they want to know why does Krishna wear a peacock feather? Why doesn't he wear an ostrich feather? Or a chicken feather? You see? They want to go on the whole thing. Instead of thinking, how can I get this dirt out of my heart and become a pure devotee, thinking, why is Krishna trying to analyze why he's wearing a peacock feather? And they give so many opinions why Krishna is wearing a peacock feather. People get sidetracked into so many side issues. Why did we fall into the material world? If you get an arrow shot in your chest, are you going to ask where this arrow came from? Is that your first business? Where did this arrow come from? It come from here? It come from there? Where did it come from? No, pull the arrow out, rascal. Don't be an idiot. Pull the arrow out of your chest, first thing. Then once the arrow is removed, then you can think where it came from. So instead of thinking how to get out of this material existence, they're thinking, how did I get here to begin with? It must have been God's fault. Because He could have stopped me from falling down. Why He didn't do that? They want to blame God for their fall down. Krishna doesn't love me. He would have prevented me from falling down if He truly loves me. They waste their time with so many foolish arguments, trying to put the blame on Krishna. Instead of taking the blame on themselves, I was an idiot, I misused my free will. Can we blame the government if somebody becomes a criminal? Is it the government's fault? Someone becomes a criminal? What do you say? Do you understand the question? If somebody becomes a criminal, is it the fault of the government? Or is it that person's misuse of their free will? Is it the government's fault or the person's fault? Who can say? Yeah, it's his fault. The government is giving full facility to become free citizen. Why you have to become criminal? So the living entity, he has full facility to remain in happily in the kingdom of God forever. But if he becomes envious, why Krishna is the supreme, why not me? I want to be supreme. It's like a little child, you see, wants to be the center of attention. So, the living entity wants that I should be the center of attention. So that foolish desire, all right, Krishna says, if you really wanted to, I'll let you think yourself the center of attention. You go to the material world and there you can think you're the center of attention. That's Krishna's kindness. You can think you're the center of attention. You see, but that's not our position. Jagannath is the center of attention. Not us. You see. Our happiness is to serve Jagannath. Not to try to be Jagannath. That is our happiness. So in this way we have to understand what we should be inquiring about. We have to learn how to inquire for removing that dirt from the heart. Not trying to find fault with Krishna. Trying to find fault with the Vedic scriptures. We have to inquire to try to remove our own faults. That's the system. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
This is the first practical question. You said that Prabhupada never designated the man's bathroom and woman's bathroom. Isn't there supposed to be some kind of practicality for children?
No, he never called it the Prabhu's bathroom. That's what I said. Prabhupada never designated that you have the Prabhus and the Matajis, males and females. He never said Prabhu was a term for the men.
That's a bathroom also you mentioned.
Huh?
You said mentioned that Matajis bathroom and Prabhu's bathroom. He never said that.
He never said that. You don't find anywhere where Prabhupada said that the Prabhu is a synonym for male. Although it's become... in many places it's used in that way. Well, there's the Prabhu's bathroom and the Mataji's bathroom. Prabhupada used the word Prabhu's to refer to all the devotees.
Shouldn't that be practicality for them? Just like in the temple room, one side is Mataji's.
Huh?
Shouldn't there be any practicality that there is, should be?
Then we can say the men's bathroom. The men's bathroom. Because the women are also Prabhus. Prabhupada said every devotee should be Prabhu.
Okay.
So it's not that we have one bathroom. That's the point. Okay. Prabhupada, many places, says every devotee should be seen as Prabhu and treated as Prabhu. Every devotee. Every devotee is my master. And it means master, it doesn't mean male. That's the point. Every devotee is my master. I'm the servant of every devotee. The Matajis are my masters. The men are my masters. Everyone is my master. So to say the Prabhu's bathroom and the Matajis' bathroom, well, the Matajis are also Prabhus. They're also masters. That's the point. So you say the men's bathroom and the Matajis' bathroom.
Just wanted the clarification.
Huh?
Just wanted the clarification.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also one.
In India, they say Prakriti and Purusha. It's like the Sanskrit. I remember we stopped at a gas station on the way to Vrindavan. I can't read much Hindi, but I was able to make it out. It said Prakriti and Purusha. That's how it designated the bathroom, Prakriti and Purusha.
In that sense, the male are presenting themselves.
Huh? What's that?
In that sense, saying Prakriti and Purusha in that sense that they are on the level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Prakriti.
Yeah, that sense. Well, that's Krishna's bathroom and the other one is for everybody else. You can see it that way too. But that's not, everyone knows what it meant. You could have a joke and say, oh, that's Krishna's bathroom. It's only for Jagannath. He doesn't need a bathroom. Yeah. Tulsi Prabhu.
Maybe we should go with translation also because some devotees could do not.
Huh?
I haven't translated your answer and her question. Mataji's.
Translation.
Oh, translation? Oh, okay.
Question?
It's the same.
Okay.
Because we know philosophically that...
Може да кажи го на български, защото той по-ше се отнесе пак само с правилата.
Значи от философска гледна точка ние знаем, че всеки правил да е наш господар, ние сме слуги. И затова е логично.
Yeah, philosophically we all know that every devotee is our master, so it's logical to address in this way.
Обаче от културна гледна точка, как трябва да има някакво разделение, как правило трябва да караш Прабху или Прабху Матаджи, и чувал съм, нали, в ведическата култура, че
But from cultural and practical point of view, we should address in a suitable way. For example, he has heard that in the Vedic culture, the wife will call her husband Prabhu and he will call her Devi.
Yeah. No, that's true. The Prabhupada said every woman should be addressed as mother. So therefore, generally, we address them as Mataji. That is Vedic culture. Prabhupada sometimes addressed them as Prabhu, but not very. He sometimes would say Shalabhati Prabhu or Jamuna Prabhu. Sometimes Prabhupada said. But the general principle is Mataji, yeah. Shalabhati was the head pujari. She had a big position. She was the first head pujari in ISKCON, in Los Angeles. She was very big. One sannyasi, he said, whatever Shalabhati says about deity worship, he says, he said regarding deity worship, whatever Shalabhati says is law. Not so much the sannyasi's respect. So to give respect, Prabhupada sometimes said Shalabhati Prabhu, to give respect that she's a very advanced Mataji. But it's a fact. Prabhupada told me in one letter, he said, every woman should be addressed as mother. That's a direct order I got from Prabhupada. So whether you say mother or Mataji is the same thing. That is Vedic culture, to address every woman as mother. So that I would suggest that we continue to address the women as Matajis. But always understand that they are Prabhus as well. My father is my Prabhu, my mother is also my Prabhu. But that philosophical understanding. But to use the word Prabhu for any male, including guests at the temple, some male guest at the temple is also a Prabhu. I've seen that done. It's not proper. Prabhu is for initiated devotees. Prabhupada in one letter said, before initiation they're called bhakta and bhaktin. So to say that every, you know, some male guest who comes to the temple, he's a Prabhu, is not really, because he's male, does not, that's going a little too far. Some karmi comes in, because he's in a masculine body, he's a Prabhu, because he's a karmi Prabhu, because he's masculine, doesn't make sense. Not in that sense, you see.
On the other side, they are treated also. Not only as masters, they're called masters, but they are treated as masters, where other Matajis who are initiated, second initiated, they are ignored.
The Vedic culture is a culture of respect. We should see how much the mother is respected. What's the best example? The Pandavas. They had, because the mother said, whatever you have collected, you must share it amongst you brothers. The mother had, they had one woman, they had gotten one woman, Draupadi. And the mother said, whatever you have brought, now you share it equally amongst yourselves. And she didn't realize it was a woman. In Vedic culture, one man, he can have many wives, you see. But she would not have one woman with many husbands. Because the mother had said, whatever you have collected now, you brothers share it equally. So therefore, Draupadi ended up being the husband, the wife of five husbands. You see? Why? Because the mother's word is law. So mother is not just some, you know, some bum or something like that. The mother is a very highly respected, practically she's God's representative. So if we have the proper respect, Pranadapi Sanichena, if we always keep that mood and see everyone as my respectable Prabhu, whether they're a Mataji or a male, then that would be the proper mood, you see. We always keep that humble mood that everyone is my worshipable Lord and Master. Every devotee, whether they're male body or female body, doesn't matter. They're all my Prabhus, my Masters. Is that clear? Yeah, I'm not saying we should stop calling. We should call all, everybody should be addressed as Prabhu. I'm not saying that. That would be going too far. Some of the ladies are saying we must be addressed as Prabhus. You shouldn't call us Mataji. That's not right. They are denigrating the term Mataji. The term Mataji is a very exalted Prabhu. A Mataji is a very exalted Prabhu. So it's not that we should just stop using the term Mataji and call all the women and address all the women Prabhu. We're not saying that. It's a matter of philosophical understanding. I mean, I have Prabhupada's letter there. What can I, you know, it's his order. Address every woman as mother, he said. So mother should be very respectfully. In the heart we should feel, oh, this is my mother. Very respectful we should be to our mothers. Okay. You were next.
Понеже вързано с този въпрос, от една страна Бахте е поне според мен висока позиция от Прабу. От друга страна Прабупад, се казва Прабупад. Просто ако може да ми разясни тези две неща.
Бахте е по-висока позиция.
Според мен Бахте е по-висока позиция от Прабу, а от друга страна Прабупад. Името на Прабхупад съществува Прабу. Просто да ни обясни това.
In his understanding, the term Bhakta is higher than Prabhu. The term Bhakta is higher than Prabhu in his understanding. And also we have, but also we have on the other side Prabhupad, like Prabhu is present in these titles.
Actually, the term Bhakta is a very exalted term also.
Всъщност термина Бхакта е много издигнат титул.
Actually, Bhakta is a very, very exalted term. Prabhu and Bhakta are both equally exalted terms. Prabhupada means the one at whose feet the Prabhu sit. So if only the men were Prabhus, then we'd have to say Prabhu Matapad. Understand? Prabhupada means the one at whose feet the Prabhu sit, then we'd have to call him Prabhu Matapad. The one at whose feet the Prabhu's and Prabhu Mataji Pad. Because both the Matajis and the Prabhu sit at the feet of
Prabhupada.
Because the Matajis are a different type of Prabhu than the Prabhupada is sufficient. The term Prabhupada is sufficient. So any other questions? Yeah.
Виждаме, че от сената Госвами той се разделя богатството, което печели на 4 части. Едната отива за семейството. Ако човек има материално семейство, което не са прямо дадени, трябва ли да им дава някаква част по принцип това, което печели?
We heard about that we should respect our mothers. And in the example of Sanatana Goswami, he divided his wealth in four parts. And he gave one part to maintain his family members, one part of his wealth. So in the case that we have a family that are non-devotees, should we give them part of our income?
Mm. Well, the best thing is to use everything for Krishna. But it's not that we are cruel and cold. If Prabhupada even set aside some maintenance fund for his mundane family members before he left the world, he set up a maintenance fund for his wife and sons, his children. Even though they were not devotees, there was some maintenance fund set up for them to help them financially.
За поддръжката на неговото семейство, съпруги и деца, въпреки че те не били предан дадени.
Of course, if one can, if one is doesn't, not that, if in my case, my father was not a devotee, and he was my younger brother who's not a devotee. He took very good care of my father in his final days when he was needed much care. My brother did very nice service, so I didn't have to worry. I could just focus completely on Krishna consciousness, because my brother took all good care of my father.
В моя случай, когато баща ми напускаше, моя брат се погрижи много добре за него и аз нямаше.
But there has to be some consideration of our family members. Prabhupada showed that.
Трябва да има някаква грижа за нашите семейни членове.
But Prabhupada didn't give 25% of ISKCON's money to them. Actually, some of them are fighting in the courts, but this is our father. We have to get his inheritance. So everything, all ISKCON belongs to us. There was a fight in the courts in India. That we should inherit our father's wealth. ISKCON is his property, and now we are his sons, so we should inherit ISKCON. But the courts did not rule in their favor. In India, sannyas is legal, is recognized by the courts. So anyway, we'll go ahead and stop here. We thank you all very much for your participation in this wonderful movement of Srila Prabhupada. Kindly, fully absorb yourself in developing your Krishna consciousness and giving it to the suffering people of this world. And in this way, your lives will be perfect. And you will not take birth again in this horrible, nasty place, this material world. Kandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai Santa Shana Prabhu ki jai.